Welcome to Deadly Departed. The do's, don'ts, and dangers of afterlife communication. This show discusses all aspects of afterlife communication, grief and grieving, the paranormal, and of course, parapsychology. There's real stories, scientific discussion, and most of all, real learning from paranormal experts and researchers. Here's your host, author of Deadly Departed, renowned evidential medium and spirit interventionist, Jock Brokaas.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Wherever you are in the world, this is Jock here, and this is Deadly Departed. Yes, you heard it. We're back, right? It's been a long time since, I think it's been over 2 years, since I got COVID, way back when COVID started, and then I kind of lost all interest in doing anything when I had COVID, and it just kind of left there, and I never managed to get episodes running. I had many, many, many emails from people saying we love Deadly Departed, when's it coming back? So it is back, and I'm delighted it's back in a different way, because whilst this was my podcast for my book and everything else, it's kind of grown in its own way, and we want to bring that more into our PDN family. I have a new podcast coming up that's going to be based primarily on grief. But you're also going to see my amazing co-host from time to time who will come in. Yes, I'll still be doing episodes myself because that's the way it goes. But we will be focusing this mainly on a PDN podcast. And Craig, my friend, John, how are you doing this morning? We have loads and loads of different changes in our organization and what we're doing. And Craig will be joining me as we interview many people within the parapsychology and psi field and within all sorts of different things. So we've got, you're feeling a wee bit under the weather today, actually, aren't you, Craig? You've got a wee bit of, is it a cold or something?
Yeah, it feels like a little bit like a cold. It was much worse last night, and this morning I'm feeling quite a bit better. But if you hear
you don't sound too bad, actually. For this in the morning, I got to thank you, because I know you, obviously you're in California, and we were meant to do this the other day, and I totally forgot when we actually booked it in. And you were like, yeah, I'm waiting, we're going to do this. It's like, oh, God. Anyway, listen, Craig, we have come, as you know, we've come a long way with Paranormal Daily News and with Parawise that we're developing. And, you know, we've got so many different things that are changing that we're bringing on that's exciting within this field, haven't we?
It's really interesting. My personal interest is parapsychology. I am interested in the science, and this is my focus. So it's been very exciting to bring that to Paranormal Daily News and to introduce people who are interested in the paranormal to what the science is actually doing.
Yeah, it's been, you know, since we started focusing on that side of things, we've had a great deal of interaction within the parapsychology community, the psi community, and you've certainly made a big impact in what we've been doing. Our quality of our writers is certainly increased as well. But, you know, this is not where it stops. I mean, now you're coming on board. You're going to be my co-host as we interview more people in this field. And we've had an amazing, Professor Paranormal himself join our team, which is great for, because obviously, you know, anything to do with parapsychology, he's your man. And then, of course, we had our very first Parawise Talks, which we're bringing back this February, I believe, where we're going to have monthly or bi-monthly. I don't know what we're actually doing, but we're going to be doing these regular roundtable talks in different subject matter.
The way we have it formatted is we're actually going to have people do speeches, because I think that...
That's right.
Yeah. My personal feeling is I like people to be prepared and not just chatting away, but to really be able to get their message across through prepared speeches so they can make sure that the listeners are getting a message that flows. When you're trying to...
We did the first one, and it was good. Actually, we enjoyed it, and Lloyd was there. And then, of course, what people don't know, we have our own app community that we've been developing as well, which is going to go hand in hand with Parawise.
You're talking about at the app? Which one are you talking about?
The Parawise, the Para Network app that we have, that we keep getting mixed up with, yeah. Which we're ready. That's going to be launching like literally imminently, where we will host our past talks and things will be in there. So we want to get the community involved in there for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It's an excellent app. It allows people to use camera. It allows people to do forum threads and that sort of thing. It will really make communicating between people much, much easier than it normally is.
And of course, if you miss the Parawise talks, then we're obviously going to put them in there as well, and so that people can catch up with them. And then, of course, we have our magazine that you and I have been working very hard on, Parawise.
Yes,
magazine, Parawise. which is really exciting because it's a different dynamic to PDN, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's more science focused, but of course, to lay people, there are actually other publications out there, but they are more, even though they're for lay people, they're more scientifically oriented. And what we wanted to do is bring this to a level where the average person can read it and go, oh, cool.
Exactly, because a lot of people read the journals and read the other ones, and it for want of a better expression, I'm just going to bring it down to the lay community here, it bores tits off everybody. And if really, if you're not like a geek like us that really like the science and getting into it, then you're not going to get a lot from it. So Craig and I came up with this idea that we would create a new magazine, which we're hopefully, you know, we're going to put in print as well. We're negotiating that and into the digital format, but we really want it to make an impact in not only just the paranormal community, but those that are just even remotely interested in it, so that we can bring good information and education to people that will get it and will understand it and won't just think that every pareidolia or every piece of imagery is a ghost, or every sound that they hear on their TV screen is a poltergeist or something like that. We're going to kind of bring that to the lay community for you guys. So we're really excited about that. And we've got some great writers as well that are going to be joining us.
Yeah, the idea of a publication like Parawise is that you have people that make one type of error, which is that they see things that aren't there. And then you have other people that don't see things that are there. And so what you need to do is strike a balance. They're actually, in statistics, they're called type 1 and type 2 errors. I mean, this is actually a thing not seeing a thing that is there is just as bad as seeing something that isn't there. And certainly when you look at skepticism, they're totally leaning towards one end of it. And then you see
absolutely. And you're not shy about taking that side of things on the skeptic type fields. You know, and it's important that we've got to say though that we do need skepticism. We need skepticism because you can't just believe everything and anything. I mean, I know a lot of mediums out there that essentially would believe everything and anything. And then pass that on to people in a community that may either be suffering or they may have some form of mental anguish. And that can be quite dangerous, you know. So it's more beneficial for us to try and strike that or build that bridge, you know, strike that balance, build that bridge so that people can understand it. And so there's, you know, and this is where Parawise is leading. And, is you know, of course, PDN is still going to live. We still want your stories. We still want to hear from paranormal groups, paranormal teams. We still want to hear from researchers. And if you're a really good, you know, writer and you think you've got something to teach or say, then you know, drop us a line. And you know, PDN will still keep going because it is, you know, an exceptionally well award-winning magazine that we've developed, and it's respected in the community, I think, globally. From everything from researchers and universities through to your paranormal fans that are out there. And so that's going to keep going, but we just want to bring something build that bridge between the science community and people out there that may not understand the science, so that, you know, people will be able to take, you know, take things on board and ask questions before they just accept every single perception, I want to say, not answer, but perception. And that's important for us to get that across. And of course, the app, which is that we've developed, our paranetwork, which is going to be launching. And there's so many other things that we're doing. I mean, here's the other thing that we just launched, because all this costs money, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, we don't want to just keep asking for donations and things like that. You know, but at the moment, we run everything off our own pockets. And so how are we going to do that? Well, rather than us trying to sell, you know, basically ask for a membership fee for to go into different areas, we will have certain things that you'll be able to do. And one of the things that we're doing to raise funds is we have the author book pages that we're launching, which is quite good. We had this before, and then we lost all the data. I remember that we had that massive collapse, which was a nightmare. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know about that, we lost the site, we lost the data, we lost years and years and years and years of work. And we had to develop that back from scratch, which we've done. And I think we've done an amazing job. Our team, Linda in Australia, myself, Craig, and the rest of our writers as well have done well and exceptionally well to bring that in. But I think, you know, one of the things that we want to do is to give more to authors. And so we've developed this author network, if you like, author page, where, you know, if you're an author and you have a paranormal or spiritual book, then because we are very high, you know, we have a high domain authority, we have a lot of readership, you can actually buy a book page for your book that we will promote in not Parawise, but in PDN. And so we've done that, and you can see examples of that. And that's going to be a way of us developing some income so that we can raise funds for research and research organizations, so that we can raise funds to keep our organization running and to develop the Parawise magazine. And so if you're an author and you have a book like that, then get in touch with us. You'll see Craig's example up there on the site, which you can check, and also check out Craig's book, because if you're interested in that skeptic side of things and what's been happening in Craig's book, Psy Wars is brilliant for that. And you can see his page. So if you're an author and you want to have a look at what we're offering, then put it there. And also, we'll be building our own shop where you can buy our own merch, and that's something that we're doing. And hopefully that will start to be a way of raising funds. But another thing that we're doing that we didn't fail. I don't want to say fail, Craig, did we really? We lost the data and we couldn't run it. We did have a big event that was planned in 2022. We couldn't do the event primarily because we lost everything. Well, those events are coming back. We're going to have online events and we're going to have in-person events, small events where we will bring the power of Parawise to the lay community and have great speakers there as well. So watch out for that, ladies and gentlemen, because that's something that we're going to be working. So in a way, you know, our PDN magazine from way back in the day has really excelled and grown beyond what we could have expected, and is certainly a focal point for the parapsychology community. And as we share information and to share knowledge with that community as well as those out there. So, Craig, I mean, what do you think about everything that we've been planning? I mean, how do you feel about everything now?
Well, certainly, when we're talking about Parawise magazine, this is something that I'm really, really jazzed about, because the
you get excited, don't you?
Oh, I get very excited. You know, parapsychology is my thing. I just like get all wound up and happy. That is my happy place. Is parapsychology, It's fun to connect up with the researchers and find out what they're doing. Parapsychology has stuff that just occasionally blows my mind, because the field is just it's the Wild West out there, and the things that they discover are all brand new. They're not like little incremental improvements in an existing knowledge base, but there are oftentimes in parapsychology great leaps, and they're just wonderful to see.
And I think, you know, when we start, when we bring more people on to, you know, Deadly Departed to do the interviews, which I've interviewed many great people before, Nick Pope, you know, and Lloyd, who's now part of us, we bring the Parawise talks, which will be speeches, the new dynamic that we are doing, that you and I are going to be doing from now on, as I said, you're still going to have me on my own at times, but, you know, you, for the most part, you're going to see me and Craig interview and bring on some really great people, great researchers, who are going to tell us about this, what is on the cutting edge of parapsychological research, what is on the cutting, and not only, and you know, not just bookish type people, but, you know, we'll be talking to experiencers and, you know, all sorts of people that can actually give something, that can actually educate. And, you know, we've talked about some people that we want to bring on, Craig. And, you know, we've got big questions as well, haven't we? We've got massive questions we want answered.
Yeah. Well, there's a, there's a lot of stuff happening out there. We're talking over the top of each other.
It's just exciting. You know, it's an exciting time for us because it's, you know, coming back with everything we've planned, it's amazing. And I mean, hopefully we're going to have some really good guests on that, you know, we'll approach as well. And I know you have great questions because you've been interested in everything from, you know, I mean, especially poltergeist phenomena. Well, you know, that's something that you've been interested in, massive.
Yeah, poltergeist phenomena is a very interesting field. The well, yeah, of course, the challenge of it is that the they are so rare. Poltergeist incidences are more let me just say how one researcher put it. Trying to find a poltergeist incident is like going to the airport and waiting for a plane to crash.
That's so apt, actually.
Yeah, it's just they're incredibly rare, and when they do occur, there's a side of physics involved in it that nobody knows anything about, and so you have to find these incredibly rare instances, and then before they've been polluted, and then try and discover something from what's going on. So I think they're fascinating.
And I think, you know, some of those people that we bring in and some of the questions that we have, I mean, really you have one camp that is very, very skeptical about it. You have, and then you have, you know, you have people who are more connected to the spirit phenomena who would believe, you know, afterlife connection, spirit connection, that kind of thing. And then you have the middle of the road that says, well, there's something here and it's not quite physics, it's not quite spirit, there's something in between. And I think for me that's exciting because that brings a new dimension to it.
It does, it does. When we're looking at the phenomena, what we want to do, what Jock and I are trying to bring to everybody is informed skepticism.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That is to say that, you know, we accept that these phenomena are real. And when we're examining it, we judge it against the database of information that's already there. And by doing that, we can eliminate things that are a little bit too far out there, and then say, okay, well, this is right in there with other experiences, and then objectively evaluate it from there. This is actually what's done in science.
Hi there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much if you have purchased Deadly Departed. It means a lot to me. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my work. And if you haven't bought Deadly Departed yet, then consider buying Deadly Departed. You can get it on Amazon or you can get it in any bookstore and you can show proof of purchase and join my closed group. You can also reach out to me on Instagram at any time at Spiritual Medium if you have a question and I will answer it. Have a wonderful day, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you once again. God bless. And you know, I think in terms of near-death experiences and people seeing, and you know, I'm a big, you know, pareidolia for me is a big sticking point because I think that 90% of what people see is actually pareidolia. And I know that my colleagues in the mediumship world will really hate me for that, but it's effectively that I just see so many people absorb and take on and say, yes, this is this spirit. Yes, this is this phenomena. This is this. And there is no other connecting evidence or scientific verification for it. And it kind of leads them down a false sense of security that I think. So I'm looking forward to bringing in people who will support that hypothesis of it being, if you like, a parapsychological or a psi effect. And I'm also looking forward to the skeptics' point of view on that side of thing as well. Informed, as you said, informed skepticism, not pseudo-skepticism. But I'm looking for that. I'm looking forward to trying to build a bridge between the two where we can understand that. And there's so many other things that we're going to be delving into, such as channeling, dreams, precognition, afterlife. I mean, really, we're really excited about bringing this back in a big way, guys.
Yeah, and all these things have huge, huge implications for the nature of reality. You know, for example, when you're talking about precognition, this affects our ideas of causality, that one thing should precede the next. And then when you have precognition,
cause and effect, yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about a model that's, there may indeed be causation there, but it's much more complex than what we're used to. I find these things...
And that's the thing, we don't understand it. And no, I don't think science does either.
Some people, I think, get it, but, you know, it needs to be a consensus for science to have something accepted. And I think parapsychology needs to lead the way on that because they're pushing the boundaries of what we think reality is.
Yeah. You know, Craig, you know, some people might not know, I mean, we are both passionate about what we do, but you came on to PDN, you're our science editor, but it would be great to let people know, because, you know, you coming on and hosting some of these round tables that we're going to be doing. When did you first get into parapsychology? Was it from an experience, or was it just an education that you were looking toward?
Well, I can thank actually skeptics for getting me into parapsychology because...
Whoa, wait there. People are going to be emailing. Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I swear. What happened was is that I...
Wow. So
this was back in 2008 and blogs were just sort of becoming a thing. And I was experimenting with doing blogs on popular sites with a lot of other people because you had a built-in readership. And so I found one and I started writing about psychic type topics. And holy smokes, you know, I get 100 comments from skeptics. I'm not kidding you, 100 comments on articles that I wrote of people attacking what I was doing. And so I said, okay, that's interesting. And so they said, well, you know, you should try Randy's $1 million challenge. So I looked it up and I found out, well, this is mostly a PR thing. There are a lot of problems with it.
Yeah.
It's not what they claim it to be. And then they said, there is no evidence for psychic ability. So I looked it up. And what do you know? There was scientific evidence for psychic ability.
There was scientific evidence, I know.
Right. So I kept pushing back and this kept taking me further down the rabbit hole. And I was discovering that the skeptics really didn't know what they were talking about. And that this is actually very much a skeptical thing, that they're very big on making proclamations and very, very light on doing actual research. At least most of them. There's you can count the people that actually do the research on one hand. Yeah. There are that few of them
much.
When it comes to skeptics.
I think there's lot of them. There's a lot of them don't actually do the research, but they claim that they know the research.
Right. They're basically, what they're using are more or less talking points, but they don't have any of the research to back them up, and they never look.
Yeah.
That's been my experience with about 99% of skeptics out there. So anyway, I just kept challenging their narrative and doing my own research to find out whether indeed this was true. Cause they would bring in links and stuff. And, you know, the farther into I got to it, it was like, you know, I'm not just combating skeptics here. This stuff's really interesting.
Yes.
And I just kept going farther along with it. And, you know, if you think about it, it makes sense. of course, psychic ability exists. You know, there are psychic experiences in every culture throughout the entire world, throughout all of recorded history that we know of. That this
thousands of years, yeah,
right. So we are talking billions of people having experiences over millennia. So this is something that, from a scientific viewpoint, you would expect to find.
Yeah.
And this is how you have to approach it. Watching the skeptics go off on their path, I realized, you know, there's a personality issue here. This isn't just a scientific discussion. These guys, they're off on their own planet.
Yes, and they tend to, and there's no quarter given on the battlefield or anything. It's just it's very negative towards them things. But the reality is there is exciting research, and for those that say there is no research or scientific research, I mean there is. I mean Dean Radin has done absolutely a plethora of research. You've got different organizations and the Parapsychology Association, Parapsychology Foundation. You know, loads of the, and we'll be talking to these people. You know, we'll be bringing these people on and chatting to them about their research and finding out what's at the fringe. What's the new research that's coming out? And you know, I'm always, you know, something for me, Craig, is that sometimes I find that we regurgitate the same stuff, especially in mediumship and things as well. We regurgitate the same stuff all the time. And some of the research is being regurgitated and argued about the same, it's constant the same way. But with all the experiences that are out there, with all the people who have had these, billions of people have had these experiences, do you think we're missing much of, you know, it's like seeing the wood for the trees. We're missing so many answers to questions that we have because we're egotistically not, you know, we're driven for answers in a different way.
Well, the issue that everybody runs into is, what do we think reality actually is? Because these experiences depend whether we consider them real or not, depend entirely upon our basic beliefs in what reality is. What the research in parapsychology has tended to show us is that belief has a role in what we experience.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. I would, yeah.
You take it from there, that belief is actually part of reality, and it not only affects it, but it's part of it, then what you believe can actually be manifested in some ways. Now, there's limits to this, but there's a whole spectrum of stuff that we don't experience because we don't believe in it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in the same token, though, I think, Craig, and this will be exciting as we delve into these subject matters as well, you know, that there are many people who don't believe and have a very skeptical viewpoint of life or experiences, but yet then at one point in their life, there is an experience that completely reverses their fundamental belief system. And I think that is something that we need to delve into even more, because even in all the research in parapsychology and how we say that, you know, there has to be an element of belief there in order for to validate a particular phenomena or something there. But what about, that's the thing, what about the people then that are totally skeptical? That are totally against it. They have an experience, and then it rocks their world.
Well, you know, it depends upon, different people have different reactions to information that rocks their world, and it really depends upon the personality of the person. Somebody who has a really flexible mind will look at it and go, "Oh, okay, that was different," and then they'll. You know, try to incorporate this experience, or they'll try to understand it better. Mm. And then on the other side, you have people that are just like, this couldn't have happened. And then they'll start shutting out the experience as far as they're concerned, it never happened. That's the skeptical side. And then you have the other extreme where people will take this one experience and weave it into something more than it actually is.
Absolutely. Pareidolia, for instance.
Yes.
But I think we're in the age of influence. And I think that both skeptics and believers alike can be influenced by the perceptions and attachment of others. And I think that we fall in, even in parapsychology, we fall into that trap of the age of influence. And that's a very difficult thing to combat.
Well, you don't combat it. You try to understand it. I mean, this is from my point of view. This is actually an area where I have some experience myself. I was an exchange student in Germany twice, and I was an exchange student in Mexico for 6 weeks. And I also grew up bouncing around several households. And what happened from that is that my ideas, values, attitudes, beliefs, all this had to be far more flexible than an average person. So I had to look inside and understand what my beliefs were, because I was constantly being challenged by this wide array of people who I was living with. And that is something that a lot of people miss, is that your upbringing, your social economic background, all of this stuff dictates what you're going to believe and what you aren't.
That's interesting. That's because my mother had one belief system. My father had another belief system. And yet, yes, I was influenced as a young man for their perceptions and their attachments to things. But I found, and I think this is important, I found my own path because I questioned. Mm-hmm. And I didn't necessarily, and then my experiences pulled me away from that influence. And those experiences made me want to research deeper and deeper and deeper. And then I found that then they had no influence over me. And actually, it became more of a burden and more of something that caused distance from that influence and the relationship. And I think that's an important aspect of it. And I'm sure you found that as well at some point, because you find your own foot, you know, you find your own path. Because you begin to ask questions. And I think that's the important thing we need to do. Ask questions and then go try and seek the answers.
Yeah. Well, for my experience is different from most people in that I never had one set of people bringing me up, ever. That was not my experience. And I was bouncing around between parents, step-parents, from both sides, also from these exchange student experiences and stuff. So I didn't have a belief system to latch onto. There was no place.
Did you have psychic experiences when you were young at all?
Yeah. Yeah. Part of the reason that I'm able to evaluate this the way I do
is because
my initial premise when I started investigating parapsychology was, I believe this stuff to be true. That there is psychic ability out there. Whether the scientific community has proven it or not, that's another question. But I started from the premise that this stuff is probably true. And so that affected how I did research, and that I simply didn't take a skeptic's word for it when they had something, you know, when they had their arguments, that I just challenged them. Because from
my... It's quite funny because I think about, you know, the division that we have between skepticism and between believers and experiencers and things, and it reminds me, and you've probably not seen this because it's a British thing, but there's a show called Blackadder, and Blackadder, and he goes, "All right, so right, so you got to remember this." So this is what it reminds me. Go back to, do you remember the witch smeller pursuivant? Right, the witch smeller pursuivant was the witch finder back in the days, and Blackadder was there, and they're in court, and it's whatever he says is that, you know, and did you drink the milk or did the horse neigh? And yeah, you're a witch. You know, did you? And if we dip you in this water and you drown, you're a witch. And if you don't drown, you're not a witch. And it's crazy, right? And that's the kind of thing that I think that we're often up against. Is we have our own witch smeller pursuivants out there that are just, and the influence, and the fact is that in that, and if you haven't watched it, ladies and gentlemen, go watch Blackadder, and it's hilarious with Rowan Atkinson. And when you get to that point, you know, it is actually very indicative about what we face every day as researchers, believers, experiencers, and skeptics alike. There's that finger pointing, and nobody will change it at all.
And what makes this so challenging is that your belief system, whatever belief system you have, is going to affect how you perceive that reality. And yours is, you might think you have the correct version of reality, but in actuality, what science is showing us is that you have one of them.
Yeah. And I think also at the same point with science, though, Craig, is as much as we love science, science doesn't have all the answers. And that's what we also need to educate people. And they don't have all the answers. And while they're saying this is, they have to say that this is a hypothesis. This is how we think it could, and there's enough evidence that shows how this chain of causation actually happens within this scientific field. But also there's an element where if it's paranormal, or let's say not paranormal, let's say it's just ethereal or it's out there, there's a greater essence bigger than us that's far beyond the understanding of science. And what's to say that's not the reality and science is just the illusion? So there's also that part of it where there's a greater energy, a greater intelligence beyond us that it does operate and operates under what we know as principle and law, and that science can't have the answers, and science can't, and they're not going to get that.
No, they're not. And the reason is because science is about what we can measure. And so you always have to remember that about science. I mean, you're exactly right about this. You can have these higher beings, and just because we cannot measure them doesn't mean that they don't exist.
Exactly. And it doesn't mean the experience is not real. And that's where we have to bring in this blend and pairwise of we also accept the experiences, because maybe there's a bridge that we'll find between the science and spirit.
Yeah. Well, the thing that science can bring to spirituality and psychic experiences is by doing experiments over and over again and changing them up and experimenting with how things work, we can get a general idea on what the consensus reality is that we're dealing with. And we can tease out information from scientific studies that you would never, ever, ever get any other way. So, you know, for example, how psychic are people normally? What can we expect from people who are psychic? What's their hit rate? You know, things like that. And
you know, but at the same time too, there are people out there who are psychic that are exceptionally good, but then you put them into a situation where they're being measured, and it doesn't work. And so we've got to try to get to the bottom of that as well, because there can be a greater aspect to things, maybe, you know, and under certain laws or certain conditions, that science is not going to be able to measure it. And science has to be open to inquiry. Science has to be open to change, I think. That's what I want to say. Science has to be open to change. And at the moment, I don't see that we are really open to change. We're open to hypothesis, and we're open, but if we can't fit that square shape in that square hole, then there is no other theory that we have, and therefore it's null and void. And I think we've got to break that chain.
Well, certainly, but you know, when we're talking about science, you do end up with a lot of stubborn people in politics in science. I mean, that's just part of what science is stubborn people in politics. There's always that has to be dealt with. You know, somebody will have their favorite theory, and they're the department head, and so everybody has to go along with their theory. Or you've got this consensus that says, you know what, this guy is great, and everybody else who disagrees with him is wrong. And then the entire mainstream science will go along that path, whether it's correct or not. You know, like I said, politics is and stubbornness is part of science, you know, including ego. And you have to take all that into account. Now, you brought it up.
And that's a cause for our education system as well, because we don't have I mean, parapsychology should have a lot more clout within our education system, I think. But we don't.
Well, certainly it should have, you know, there should be more discussion about psychic experiences in education because a lot of people have them. Mm. And, you know, having a way for people to integrate their personal experiences into science is a great way to promote science. Saying that their personal experiences...
And then you've got citizen science. That's another thing that's starting to make a big impact as well, is we want our citizens to ask questions and become, I don't know, not science-oriented, but a blend between both of spirit science, I think. You know, maybe we'll need to find a new buzzword for that, because, yeah, citizen science sounds very much like a cult. But, it's
but citizen science is a perfectly normal thing.
It is, but I think you've got it. You can't have citizen science just based on just science, because then you're going to have the same problem. You have to have a blend of both.
Well, the citizen scientists, if their information is going to be taken seriously, they have to go down the path of disclosure of what they're doing, get their stuff published in journals and all that. And it's not actually that difficult for a citizen scientist. You just find an academic that supports your work, and then you publish together, and that's how a citizen scientist can get stuff done, you know, without the PhD or any of that. Is they find a scientist that they can work with, and that person will put them on the paper, and it'll get published.
We've got a lot that's going to be coming up for what we're doing, and. I know you're struggling there, but you're the way you're feeling. So we're gonna end there, and Craig's got to get to work, because obviously still got to work for a living to pay the bills and things. Yep. But guys, we're really excited about this happening. So Deadly Departed is back. We've got lots of guests that we're going to be bringing in, and you know, is within the PDN community. Go on to the magazine, paranormaldailynews.com, sign up for our newsletter, sign up for the notifications, get involved, get an invite to our new community within our app as well, and get excited about what's coming up, because we're really excited about the new magazine coming out. We're working on that hard at the moment to bring that to fruition. PDN is still growing. We're always still looking for good quality writers. So if you can write and you've got some experience, then get in touch with us. But there's so much more. Deadly Departed is back. You're going to hear from us at least. We're going to have a round table once a month or every 2 weeks. We haven't decided on a frequency, but that's what we're going to do, because we're all busy as well. I certainly will be back with my normal Deadly episodes, but also you're going to have my new podcast, which is based on grief research, et cetera, et cetera. So, Craig, any final words about what we're doing that you want to tell the folks out there from your side of things and from our exciting new landscape?
Parapsychology is super cool.
We could get out a T-shirt. Like, we did say we're going to get merch, so we are going to start putting T-shirts together, but maybe classy things. But I like that. We put that in. And also we'll be interviewing people from different organizations where you can also be educated. And organizations are close to my heart as well. So yeah, parapsychology is super cool. We do enjoy it. Think psychology, think science. Ask questions. Don't believe everything. Not every picture you see is a spirit, and not every orb or every light anomaly is an orb or anything out there. There is, you must have, as I've always said, there has to be a chain of evidence. There has to be a story. Evidence is about storytelling, and if you have a story there, then you have the possibility of real phenomena. If there is no story and it hits a dead end, then that's something we'll look at. Craig, thank you for being with me, my friend. I'm looking forward to us having many people on and us, you know, chatting away on Deadly Departed. Make sure you go to Paranormal Daily News, and this is me signing off. This is Jock and Craig. Final thoughts. Goodbye.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
You've You've been listening to Deadly Departed with renowned evidential medium and author Jock Brocas.
Jock Brocas.
If you like what you've heard, make sure to pick up a copy of the Deadly Departed book. Don't forget to share the episodes and send in your questions to us about anything paranormal and the afterlife. Tune in next time to Deadly Departed, the do's, don'ts, and dangers of afterlife communication.